most of us are going to live on this earth about 80, 90 years. You know, compared to eternity, that's not a lot of time. 80 years is minuscule compared to the trillions and trillions and trillions of years you're going to spend on the other side of death. You see, you were made to last forever. And the Bible tells us that this life is preparation for the next. And what God wants you to do on this earth is to practice now what you're going to do forever in eternity. Now, what I've just told you is part of what's called God's worldview. God's worldview for you is found in the Bible. It's not found in politics. It's not found on the television. It's not found in magazines. It's found in the Word of God. And that's why every day here on Daily Hope, we're looking at God's Word to discover God's worldview for you. When you have a clear worldview, you're going to have the life God intended for you to live. That frame of reference, your worldview, is built on beliefs. Your beliefs can be built on the truth or they can be built on lies. When you build your life on the Word of God, you're always building on truth. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called Reframing Your Worldview with part three of a message called Why Does It Matter What I Believe? Taken from various portions of Scripture. Here's Rick.
Why does it matter what I believe? Well, the Bible says, always be ready. This is the Amplified translation. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it courteously and respectfully. Did you know that God expects you to not only know what you believe, and not only know what you believe, but why you believe it, and then be able to explain it to other people? Our world needs people who know what they believe, why they believe it, and can explain it to others. Because most of the people in the world don't have a clue as to what they really believe. They're a mishmash, a hodgepodge of all these different worldviews, all thrown in together. And God says, no, this is what matters. A faulty worldview causes all kinds of problems. Now, I so wanted you to get this that I wrote down a sentence. I put it all, it's a long sentence, but in one sentence, why we're doing this series on worldview and why it's so important that you know what you believe and why you believe it and are able to explain it to other people. It says this: the crumbling of our culture, the crisis in our schools, the controversies in our courts, the corruption in our businesses, the chaos in our government, the carnality in our churches, the confusion in our families, and the conflicts in our personal lives are all caused by this futile attempt to hold and believe and live out incompatible and contradictory worldviews at the same time. And you can't do it. This is the source of all of the problems in the world. Conflicts in worldviews, competing worldviews, and you cannot hold them all at the same time. And it causes all kinds of problems. Now, quickly, how do I strengthen my worldview? Well, that's what we're going to do for these 6 weeks together. But let me give you a quick overview. You got to learn, discern, turn, and concern. Just write these down. Number one, learn the truth. That's the first step in building a strong biblical worldview, a view of reality. You must learn the truth. You know, Jesus concluded his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, with a story. He said, you know, two guys go out and they build houses. One builds his house on the shaky foundation of sand, and another builds his house on the solid foundation of rock, solid rock. And when the storms come along and the winds blow and the waves rise and everything crashes in, he said, the guy who built his house on the shaky foundation of sand, it collapses. It falls in.
It crumbles. There's nothing left to it. But the guy who built this house on the solid foundation of rock, it stands the test of time. And then Jesus says, here's the point. You're going to either build your life on what I say, on the truth, what God says is the truth, or you're going to build your life on popular opinion, what other people say. And if you build it on sand, it's going to crumble when times get tough. But if you build your life on rock solid truth that never changes, you will stand up under the most difficult circumstances. You see, in California, we of all people know the value of a good foundation because we have earthquakes here. And you're going to have lots of earthquakes in your life, financial earthquakes, spiritual earthquakes. I can guarantee you're going to have health earthquakes, relational earthquakes, moral earthquakes. You may have some career earthquakes. If you get married, you may have marital earthquakes. And they're going to shake you to the core. And if your foundation is not solidly built on truth, that doesn't change, it's built on popular opinion, or it's built on how you feel at the moment, you're going to crumble. You're going to collapse. You're going to cave in. That's why we're doing this series. You must learn the truth. You can build your life on truth, or you can build your life on trends. Now, you say, well, I want to be hip, and I want to be cool, and I want to be in style, and I want to be up to date. Fine. But if that's what you build your life on, I hate to tell you this, but tomorrow you're going to be unhip, uncool, out of style, and out of date. Because it changes just like that. And whoever was on the cover of Rolling Stone last week was the hero, and next week he's a zero. And if you build your life on what other people think, what happens when they change opinion and all of a sudden it's out of style? Well, then you're just drifting through life with no solid foundation. The only way to be eternally relevant is to build your life on eternal truths that don't change. That you're made for a purpose. That God made you to love you. That God wants you to know Him. And all the other things we've talked about that are part of the Christian biblical worldview. So the Bible says this in Proverbs 23. Learn the truth and never reject it. Get wisdom, self-control, and understanding. Now, how do you learn the truth? Well, you learn truth by studying this word, the Bible. Get into God's word. You can read good Christian books. I'd like to recommend a book called The Good Life, Seeking Purpose, Meaning, and Truth in Your Life by Chuck Colson, a friend of mine. It's a good book on worldview. Learn the truth. Second, discern what is false. Discern what is false. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says this. I love this in the Message paraphrase. Don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. Anybody want to say amen to that? And there are a lot of lying teachers loose in the world. I love the Bible because sometimes it's just flat out in your face. You know, it just tells it like it is. It rips snorting true. You know, it doesn't beat around the bush and says, you know what, there are people out there, they're just liars. And they say they're speaking for God, but they're not. So you need to learn the truth and then you can discern what's false. You ought to do that with me. Is what Rick's saying true? Go check it out for yourself in God's word. See, what matters is not the teacher, but the truth. Teachers come and go. What matters is truth, and that's eternal. Now he's saying discern what's false. That doesn't mean being skeptical or cynical. Cynicism is built on resentment and bitterness and hurt. Cynicism, people who are hurt are cynical. They get cynical. Cynics are always people who've been hurt. God said, no, don't be cynical, but be discerning. That's built on love and truth. Learn the truth, discern what is false. Number three, turn from the world to the word. Turn from the world to the word.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called Why Does It Matter What I Believe? It's from the series Reframing Your Worldview. And we're going to continue with more in just a moment. But first, please check out rickwarren.org.
There you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. And thousands of people just like you have benefited from Rick's personal and practical emails every day. So please sign up and be encouraged. And while you're there at rickwarren.org, listen to his latest message, connect with him on Facebook and Twitter, or shop our online store. It's packed with resources to help your walk with God. You can find us online today at rickwarren.org. There's more Daily Hope with Rick Warren just ahead.
The book entitled The Good Life by Pastor Rick's friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out 6 truth-filled, easy-to-follow lessons that will sharpen your Christian worldview, motivating you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope radio broadcast. Request your copy when you call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Turn from the world to the Word. Turn from the world to the Word. The Bible says this in Romans 12, 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Might circle that phrase, pattern of this world. That's talking about worldview, the world's value system, materialism, hedonism, individualism, secularism, all these things. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, that means turn, by the renewing of your mind. There it is. It starts with your belief. Beliefs determine behavior, which determine what you become. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get a new worldview. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's will for your life is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. But you got to have that worldview shift, that mind shift, that transforming, renewing of the mind. I love this verse in the Message paraphrase. Look up here on the screen. It says this. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. But that's what most of us do. We don't even think about it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God says, turn from the world to the Word. You see, you've got two choices. Am I going to get my advice on life from God's Word, which is eternal, or the world, which is contemporary opinions? Look at the next verse. In fact, let's read this aloud together, Proverbs 15, 14. A wise person is hungry for truth, while the fool feeds on trash. Now you cross out trash and just write in television there. A wise person is hungry for truth, while the fool feeds on trash. So again, you've got two options on what to build your life on. Truth or trash? Truth or trash? Turn from the world to the Word. And finally, learn, discern, turn, and then concern yourself with God's agenda. Concern yourself with God's agenda. Jesus said this, it's a promise in Luke chapter 12. God will give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Circle primary concern. Now, you can't have two primary concerns. I want to make a lot of money, that's my number one goal, and serve God. Now, Jesus said you cannot serve both God and money. He didn't say you should not, he said you cannot. You can't have two number ones in your life. So what's going to be one and what's going to be two? What's going to be secondary and what's going to be number one? He says, put me first. Put God number one in your life. And he goes, you'll see amazing things happen. He says, I'll take care of all the rest. I'll take care of all the rest. You know, for the last 21 days, I've been on the road. And I was on 3 different continents. I was speaking an average of 1 or 2 times a day. First, we went to Africa, where I was in Rwanda, Uganda, and Burundi. And I met there with the president of Rwanda and with business leaders, government leaders, church leaders, working on the peace plan. The president of Rwanda asked me to go visit the president of Burundi for him, put me on his helicopter, and I fly down to Burundi and meet the president down there, talk with him about his country and the peace plan. Then from there, we fly over to Uganda and met with leaders there. And then after a week in Africa, and I had just seen this spiritual emptiness there, people going, we want hope, we have needs. I fly to Europe. And in Europe, I spoke 5 times at the World Economic Forum in Davos. 2,000 of the brightest people in the world brought in to discuss the conditions of the world. And I saw the theme of the World Economic Conference, and it was this: committed to improving the state of the world. There's only one problem. When you remove God out of the picture, all you've got left is politics. And that has failed for the last 100 years. You see, you're not going to solve the state of the world until first you deal with the souls of people. Because they're what make the world. You can't legislate change. You can't force people to change. You can't make a law that makes people be nice to each other. It has to change in their worldview. And I saw such emptiness in so many lives without God at the World Economic Forum. Then I flew from there to Washington, D.C., where I spent a week in Washington, D.C. And I had been invited to speak to a group of congressmen there, met with a group of senators, spoke to them, and actually had dinner with all of the senators and their wives, spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, did a bunch of interviews. And in Washington, D.C., the center of power in America, I saw such spiritual emptiness. And people going, this isn't working. Government's at a standstill. We're at a loggerhead. Nothing's getting done. And I left after a week of Washington, D.C., and I fly out here to Hollywood, the media capital of the world. And I'm a closing speaker, one of the final speakers at the entertainment gathering, which is 500 elite Hollywood people. It's movie producers like, you know, Jeffrey Katzenberg and all kinds of musicians, Herbie Hancock and others, and actors, you know, Sidney Poitier and architects, Frank Gehry, and all of these very creative types, and people who like founded Google and Idea Lab and all these things. And I saw in all of these areas, in Africa, in Europe, in D.C., in Hollywood, the exact same problems. People need God, and they need truth, and they've built their houses on shifting sands, and when the crisis comes, they're going, where's the hope? And it was like person after person, the best way I could describe it, would be like a group of people who've been walking across the Sahara Desert for 3 weeks without water, and their throat is parched, and their lips are cracked, and their tongue is thick, and they're going, will somebody please give me a drink of living water? Will somebody please show me how my life can have meaning and significance and purpose? Because I'm successful, but I don't feel significant. And I thought, we have what they need. We have the living water of God's truth that refreshes and restores and rejuvenates and revitalizes and changes our lives. And we have the message. We have to know what we believe, know why we believe it, be able to share why we believe it, and then live it. My goal for you and for our church here at Saddleback during this series is the last verse on your outline, 1 Corinthians 14. Stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. In other words, be innocent regarding evil and perversion. But in your thinking, be adults. And what we need today in our world, really more than anything else, are people who have a clear worldview. They know what they believe. They know why they believe it. They can explain it to people in the world who haven't the slightest clue what they believe. And most important of all, they live it. They live what they believe. That, friends, will change the world.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, Rick will share a closing thought. But first, please take a minute after the broadcast to visit the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org. Log on there today and you can sign up to get today's entire message, get message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. Log on now, rickwarren.org. We also want to let you know about this special gift we have to say thanks for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. It's a powerful book by the late Chuck Colson. It's called The Good Life. As Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this helpful book, Chuck Colson was relentless in his pursuit of truth in every area of life. And Chuck brings this passion to bear in The Good Life as he helps you answer hard, existential questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? What does it mean to live a good life? Chuck asks and answers these questions in a way that can literally change your life and the lives of those around you. The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. So please request your copy when you call us today, 1-800-600-5004. And if you can, consider giving just a little more today to help support this program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners like you, so we really appreciate your gifts, your prayers, your calls, emails, your testimonies, and more. And we would love to pray for you, too. So give us a call today at 1-800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Did you know that God not only wants you to know what you believe and why you believe it, but God wants you to be able to explain what you believe to other people? Are you able to do that? In 1 Peter 3:15, the Bible says this, "Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully." Now listen to that verse. It says we are to always be ready to explain the hope that we have. We call this program Daily Hope because God says, I want you to put your hope in me. Jesus is the hope of the world. And when we trust God's grace to save us through the work of Jesus on the cross and our sins are forgiven, we get not only a new purpose for living, a new passion for living, we get a new hope for living. And we're promised a hope not just in heaven, but here on earth. Now, God wants us to take that hope and not hide it. He wants us to share it with others. You may not realize this. Maybe you've never even thought about it. But the chance to tell people about the greatest hope in the world is all around you on a daily basis. If you'll just open your eyes, you'll see all kinds of opportunities that God sends your ways. He's been sending them to you for years. The Bible says in Colossians 4:5, make the most of your chances to tell others the good news. Be wise in all your contacts with them. When you think about all the people you come in contact with on a daily basis, here's one thing you can know for sure about them. Everybody needs hope. There's not a single person you meet today or talk to on the phone or interact with on the internet or anywhere else that doesn't need hope. That's why God tells us part of our ministry in life is to share the hope of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine getting to heaven one day and there are people there because of you, because you shared the hope of Jesus? You know, in the Purpose Driven Life book, I explain that one of the ways you can share the good news is to tell others about the major lessons that God has taught you through life. This is called your life message. And to help you do that, I've created some questions that'll jog your memory. Let me just give you a few of them. For instance, what has God taught you from failure? Think about that. What has God taught you from a lack of money? What has God taught you from pain or sorrow or depression? What has God taught you through waiting or having delays in your life? Or how about through illness or through disappointment? Or what have you learned from your family or your church or your friends or your small group or even your critics? All of these are part of your life message, and all of these are part of sharing the hope of the gospel. The gospel is what God is doing in your life. It's not just that Jesus died on the cross for you. It's that Jesus Christ lives in you. The Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory. By the way, if you'd like a list of those questions, as well as some scripture references, they're all on our website at rickwarren.org. Just go to the Listen tab and you'll find them there. It's a great way to help you begin to share your hope with others. I'm Rick. And I hope you'll continue to join me next time as we look at God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.